Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, everybody, welcome in to another hour of Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Congratulations. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to all those who celebrate, like myself, like Max. It's a movement. It's a lifestyle. You can get on board or not, or you can sit back and watch the rest of us have all this fun. Glad to be here with you on this Monday. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a part of our program. We talk about it all the time. We love being out there. They've got the huge Memorial Day bash coming up this weekend. Tommy, I have said we haven't. The pool is the thing that we use more than anything, and they've renovated it. And I don't know if you've seen it since you've been out there, but they've got some cabanas up. They extended it out. They're redoing a bunch of stuff. We love that pool. One of the main reasons we love it, we'll find out. You and I will both be at the big Memorial Day bash, so say hi. Is because it's what is it going to be like? 71 degrees and cloudy. They can heat that sucker up. Baby.
It's not going to be, like a traditional, and I feel like this always happens. Like usually around Memorial Day, you get kind of cool weather and rainy and whatever. So it doesn't really feel like pool party weather necessarily when you look at the forecast, but they can certainly do a lot to make it fun.
Well, you heat the pool up. That's one sure. of the, it's the best pool in town. If you haven't seen, it's got the big high dive and all that stuff that, but they can heat it up. And so, yeah, it'll be just fine. Give Crestview a call. Ask about the facilities and everything else. You can they have stuff for you, even if you don't play golf. You know, that's the thing about it. So give Todd a call out there. Take a tour of the facility. And we're a couple of weeks away from some fun stuff with the listeners here that we'll be able to do with you guys out there. So stay tuned for all that. All right, Tommy, this is a little bit unexpected, but it's good. Let's go back to the tush push here. We've got some comments on it. John says on YouTube, and thanks for sticking with us, John, and you can always reach out to the program, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us audio messages on the Odyssey app. The tush push, it's not a football play at all, but the only way to ban it fairly would be to ban all pushing across the board. I'd be fine with that if that's what you need to do. Am I forgetting about a situation that could negatively benefit or affect? I don't think there's another pushing. I don't really care. I don't think.
I mean, you can absolutely push a running back across the goal line.
Yeah, the pile push.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably would have to, I don't know what they'd do with that. That's interesting.
You'd have to ban it all. You'd have to ban like that.
Because it was banned. I mean, right. You couldn't do that for a long time, which is where a lot of people, myself included, have been confused on this. Rick says you can't pull, but you can push. That's like we do all these little things. It's not going to be difficult for the league to do this. And ultimately, I think they will. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. But I think that they will. And it's not even really like there's no this isn't one of those like right, wrong. It's an interesting thing. And I think the reason we've spent more time on it this morning than at least I thought we would is because there's kind of a mixed bag on it. I think it makes the game boring. I don't like it. It's not because it's an illegal play. It's not because the Eagles shouldn't be commended for doing it so well. It's not anything else. I just see what's coming. If it, you know, if nothing's done with it, teams are all going to start figuring out how to get really good at it. And now it's not just Eagles games where you're like, ah, crap, third and one, like foregone conclusion, like just skip to the next first down. Like when we start to see half the league, the full league doing that, now we've lost that play. That's what I fear with it. And that's why I think they should change it. But I mean, I get the other side of it. Stop it.
I'll go back to the Patriots example again, not necessarily just the Tom Brady example, but you remember the days when it was pretty much automatic that Tom Brady would find one of his tight ends to convert on a third down. Like it was, he converted all the freaking time on that. I guess easy answer would have been, yeah, just ban that. Just ban a short pass to a tight end because he's converting it all the time and it's unfair because the defenses can't stop it. Like that's the same kind of logic in banning something like this because there are so many different things that
I don't totally agree with that because they changed the pushing rule, but even if it did, even if it was, my counter would still be the same in that at least that's an exciting play. Right. At least that's a fun play to watch. A more fun play to watch. There's nothing fun about
it. It's so subjective, though. It's so subjective.
I totally agree. It's 100% subjective. But so was changing contact at the line. So what, like, this is a league that is totally subjective in its rule changing. It does it every year. It's subjective. So if it's subjective, if it has this history of being subjective, then just do the subjective thing and take out a boring play. I mean, I think
I just hate legislating something that is because I disagree with what John said when he said it's not a football play. It absolutely is a football play. I mean, the whole thing, like everything that they do is a football play. So I do think you're legislating out a football play.
With the pushing being allowed, but that was a rule change. That didn't used to be allowed.
For 20 years. It's not like they changed this a year ago and this is the result of it. This has been a rule change for the last 20 years. And it just so happened that a team in the Philadelphia Eagles figured out a way to make it work so where they could convert on third or fourth down and short a large portion of the time. They shouldn't be, and I don't like the Eagles, don't get me wrong, but they shouldn't be penalized because they found a way to have success on third and fourth and short. They should not be penalized for this.
I don't look at it as I'm not saying that the Eagles should be penalized. I don't think anybody's, well, some people might be saying that because they're very unlikable. But I think for me, again, it's just, I don't think that play is what the NFL's going for in its product. And so at the end of the day, I mean, they're trying to make kick returns happen. That is a player safety issue. Kick returns are a player safety issue. High speed collisions, but they want to bring it back. Why? Because it's an exciting play. And that's what the league does all the time. My point is there's a history of this, right? Like it's not, this wouldn't be unprecedented for them to come in and be like, yeah, no, we don't like that. We're going to be done with that. It's not like baseball where we had to like really change what's ever been done in baseball to make the kind of legislative changes that they made a couple of years ago. And it 100% made the game better. No doubt about it. They made the game better. And the NFL, I always commend the NFL because they're always changing things to make their product a more enjoyable product. So for me, that's all it is. It's a more enjoyable product without that play. That's all it is for me. There's no like, I don't like the history of whatever. I think that specific play is a boring play and this league makes a living getting rid of boring things. That's why I think they'll change it. That's why I would change it. And I think that's why they will change it. I don't think it's 100%. I've got like a 50-50 vibe on whether I think this will change.
Do you think that the regular old quarterback sneak is a boring play?
If it was used as often, like if it was to the point where it's like they're going to quarterback sneak and it's going to be successful 90% of the time.
That's not my question. Yes. Do you think the overall quarterback sneak is a boring
play?
Yeah,
I do. I think it's a boring
play. So then we should outlaw that as well.
If it starts being used the way that Tush pushes,
Kyle Juszczyk gets the ball for the 49ers to convert on a third and or fourth and one, and it's just a fullback dive up the middle, is that a boring play?
It is.
Probably should be outlawed then.
Not over the history of football going to be successful 90%.
Probably should be out. If the criteria is a boring play to make the product better, then there are plenty of them. Let's start outlawing all of them.
I'm willing to have the discussion. I get what you're trying to
say. I'm just saying that logic is a really slippery slope. If it's boring in your opinion, whether or not it actually, I mean, who knows? I mean, that's everybody's opinion one way or the other on whether or not something is boring. But if that's the logic on banning the tush push, there are plenty of other boring plays in the NFL.
It's probably been totally outlawed. It's been the logic, though. That's what I'm saying. It's been the logic for a long time. Like the league makes a history of doing it.
Does a simple wide receiver slant, is that a boring play? A lot of times it is. Like when Wes Welker was catching the ball over the middle on just a short 4-yard slant, it's a fairly boring play. It's not like all bells and whistles. It's just a standard play in the NFL. If we're going by that logic, they all should be banned then.
I understand what you're saying. It's what they've done forever, though. Like that, so I get it. But they can avoid all of this, to John's point, by just saying no more pushing players. Like now you're not targeting that specific play. You're just saying you can't do that thing ever.
Rick chimes in and says at least the player is getting yards on his own and not getting help. What do you call blocking, Rick? Like these players are getting blocked. They're getting helped by every other player on the offense to help them get yards. When Kyle Juszczyk gets the ball for the 49ers and runs it for 3 yards up the middle to get a first down, you don't think he's getting blocks? That's getting help from other players. So if you want to just have the player do everything on his own, then ban blocking too. Like, I feel like this is like a really slippery slope that we're getting into. I just don't feel like it's that big of a deal to legislate it at the ownership level. That's my only point.
Yeah, I get it. The slippery slopes existed forever. Like do you want it gone or not? I mean, it's fine. Like they'll make their decision. It's just none of it's unprecedented. None of it's that big a deal. And if you don't want that, like if you're wanting to avoid the slippery slope that you're talking about, you do what John does. Just you ban the push again. You just don't let players get pushed. Then it doesn't.
Yeah, that's fine with me. If you're going to do that, just ban pushing in general.
Yes.
That in a roundabout way takes care of itself.
It does. And I think that's probably the way they would do it. To avoid what you're talking about, and I'd be fine with it. We're none of us are missing anything. Scrum, push, like, so what? Like, that's not that big a deal. All right, we'll come back. Let's get the Royals when we return. We got more Sports Daily coming your way.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
All right, let's talk Royals, Tommy. You got 4 1/3 scoreless in a tight game, your bullpen, and it wasn't even like your elite part of the bullpen. Man, those have got to be games the Royals can figure out a way to win. The Giants started a guy who's kind of been up and down in the bullpen, and Birdsong's been okay. But even like if you were watching the game last night, Hudler was talking about this. Like he was leaving pitches flat. Like he was like, oh man, they're going to get him if he keeps doing it. And they just like, I don't know. I don't remember ever seeing a team that should be a better offense just collectively sort of, I mean, do we call it a slump? Because they're not all slumping necessarily. It's just not productive. It's becoming a little strange, honestly, to watch it every night. But it is what it is. And so you get, you know, you don't get Lorenzen's best stuff, not even close. But he kept him in the game, and then the bullpen really kept him in the game. And to your point that you've brought up before, like, it just, man, it feels like if they're down 2-1, 3-1, even in the fourth inning, they're no chance. They got no chance to come back and win that game. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they really, outside of Michael Garcia, who's been the most consistent offensive producer right now, I mean, it's been rough. Vinny Pasquantino, I thought, looked better than what he's looked. I mean, I think obviously he hit a home run in the opening game of this series, but he was 1-for-3 last night, added a walk onto that as well. I thought he looked pretty solid for the most part offensively, and his hit last night was to the opposite field, which is good. So I think that there are a couple of small silver linings, but one of the things I've noticed a lot, and I don't know if you've recognized this too, but by and large, I feel like a lot of the hits that the Royals get, it'll be like a 2-out single. You know, like they finally scrape across a hit and there's 2 outs and they get a runner on first, and then the next guy up just, you know, grounds out or strikes out or whatever.
But yeah, that, and even the inning then, is over, that shouldn't right? be a death sentence, right? Like that, okay, great, a 2-out rally, right? Like yeah. Big, here we go. Like it's, right. But it is. Like it's like, what's the point? In their last 11 games, okay, 11 games, which is 4 series. They'll finish the series today. I don't know if you've looked at this. How many times do you think they've scored more than 3 runs in those 11 games?
Once.
Twice. 4, right? And
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's, I think it was 7. I should. But it is like in the little spurts that you get offense from them, it'll all come at once, right? And then a month ago, you were making fun of me when they were on the streak, and I'm like, but they're not scoring. And like, this is it. This is why. This is the whole point of that entire exercise, was like, this is not sustainable. Like, it's not. Like, you can't score fewer than 3 runs a game, basically, and expect good results in baseball. I don't care how good your pitching is. It is, I mean, it's bad. It's wild, honestly, that they have been able to win the amount of games that they've been able to win. Like the fact that they are very much in it, the fact that we don't have to panic yet, the fact that they're 5.5 games out, but 4 games over 500, all of these things, despite, right, scoring as few of runs as they've scored, is why the only teams in their range, the White Sox have scored about 5 fewer runs than the Royals this year, have 15 wins. The Orioles, who have scored more runs but are in that lower threshold, right? 15 wins. The Rays in that, you know, in that Rays scored 20 more runs. They're not even in that threshold. The Rangers are the only other team in baseball, really, where you're seeing that kind of anemic production not be a death sentence. Colorado is in that range. They've won 8 games. Pittsburgh is in that range. They've won 16. Like, it's wild that they have been able to do this. And, you know, you tip your cap to the pitching staff, but what we're seeing is when they're playing good teams, it ain't working. They've only won 3 of their last 10 games, right? Like, that win streak is very much schedule aided. They're playing the same brand of baseball. They still have really good pitching. They still weren't hitting, but the difference is they're playing quality teams. It's not sustainable. Like, they're going to fall out of this thing if something doesn't change. And the other part that amplifies it, of course, is that A, the Tigers right now are the best team in baseball, and B, there's two other teams in the mix in that division. So it's not like it's like, okay, well, we'll get them to the deadline and they'll make they can't do that in the American League this year. They'll fall out of this thing. That's the danger.
You're not wrong. And I remember a week ago saying that I wasn't at that point ready to panic about Salvador Perez specifically. But I reserve the right to change my mind as the week, you know, goes on. And I'm sounding alarm bells right now. Here's the most concerning thing about Salvi in the cleanup spot right now as it stands. He's got the third most at-bats on the team behind Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. And he has the second worst WAR currently. Minus 1.2 is his WAR right now, second only to Hunter Renfroe. And we all know how unplayable Hunter Renfroe has basically been this entire season. That's a problem. It's a problem when your cleanup hitter has the second worst WAR on the entire roster. And so, and that has come into form over the last week. I mean, I know he's been slumping prior to that, but it's been glaring on full display multiple games in a row. He was 0-for-4 again last night. He looks honestly lost at the plate. He looks like he's pressing. He looks like he's just whiffing at balls out of the strike zone that he shouldn't even be swinging at. Like, it's not good right now. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that if you're looking at kind of a microcosm view of the Royals offense in general, at this point, it does start with your cleanup hitter, and that's the captain.
It's been really, really bad. He can't be your cleanup hitter. I still don't have a problem, because there's a lot of teams in baseball. He's 35 years old. Give him some days off. There's a lot of teams in baseball that don't have offensive production from their catchers. So it's not like if you stack it up, right, they're not losing some major part. His average has dropped, though, almost 30 points in the last like 10 days. Like, that period of time where he was really starting to, you know, to get it together is now almost a month ago.
I mean, even Vinny's WAR is in the positives now. I mean, he's not hitting great, but at least it's more consistent than it was before. And he's gotten himself back up to a point to where his average is almost 230, which for a while it was below 200. You know, he's got an OPS creeping up to around 700, you know? So, like, I think at this point, not that you take the focus totally off of Vinny, but I think it is squarely right now on Perez and what they're going to do with him.
Do you know how many walks, Tommy, do you think Salvador Perez has in the month of May?
Zero.
One. It's the problem, right? It is the problem. And he's a swing guy. Like, he swings the bat. I get it. But right, he has one walk this month. That, like, put him down in the lineup. You don't have to play him every day. I get he's the captain. He is not going to have that much of a problem, I don't think. If you move him down the lineup, put him in the 7 hole, whatever it is, let him figure it out, but don't have him figure it out on the fly in key situations of every game you're playing when you are so desperate to score runs.
And I've seen a lot of chatter, by the way, that people are wondering if he's healthy, you know,
I've wondered that for a long time.
And if that's the case, okay, don't play him then, because he's currently a liability. Give him a little bit of time off. If he's injured, if whatever is ailing him is contributing to him not being able to produce at the plate, put him on the IL. They've got enough guys. Like, you could have Freddie Fermin call back up. I know they designated for assignment Luke Maley. I don't know if they would bring him back or whatever that would look like. But for a while, they were carrying three catchers up until a couple of days ago on the active roster. Like, give Salvi, if he is truly injured, that clearly would be contributing to why he's not producing at the plate. Give him some time off.
Make it up. Pretend he's injured if he's right. Not. Give him a 10-day. Just give him one little stint down there. I will tell you this, though. As he struggles, I think the likelihood of Cags getting the call goes up because it's becoming more justifiable for him not to play 150 games this year. Now, Salvador Perez is, and I've said this before, probably on a personal level, my favorite baseball player that didn't play for the Texas Rangers ever. That's how much I like Salvi. That's how much I appreciate what he brings to the game. That's how much I like his energy. All of these things. I'm not going to advocate yet for his time to be done or anything that drastic, but I think they can do more to help him. I wish they could come into it, Tommy, and say, you know what, Salvi, you're not allowed to swing on the first pitch. You must watch a pitch. Remember Albert Pujols used to do that. You must watch a pitch. Like, you cannot swing at the first pitch. There's not a more 0-2 prone player in baseball than Salvador Perez. There can't be.
Do you know what his strikeout rate has been on the season? Almost 23%. 23% of the time that he's up to the plate, he's striking out. You mentioned the stats about walks in the month of May. His walk percentage is under 5. It's like 4.5%. Like, that, those two things need to go in opposite directions. You need to see that strikeout rate go down. Even if he got it under 20, that's a win at this point, and get the walk percentage up some. Like, at this point, Salvi, like, you're doing more harm than good by swinging at pitches. You might be better off just keeping the bat on your shoulder when you go up there.
He's not, look, let's just take this exercise because I have it pulled up. Neither of those things are unusual for him. We'll put it that way. He's never had more than, it looks like, 45 walks in a season, right? Like, he doesn't walk a ton. He doesn't. He also strikes out. I mean, he's not terribly off his pace. 145 strikeouts and 155. And I'm just looking at pace here. Last year, he struck out 129 times in 158 games. 2023, he struck out 135 in 140 games. His big season, remember, in 2021, Tommy, he struck out 170 times in 161 games. He only walked 28 times. So a part of the problem is, this is always what Salvi's done, but there's nothing else coming with it, right? There's no power. There's no pop coming with all of that. With those numbers, the fact that he's had decent to good on base percentages over his career, he hits the ball. But that's not happening this year. Like, he has like no juice, which makes me think he's hurt, right? That lends itself to the something physically is not there. He's never walked a ton, but right now as he's struggling, like, you got to see him walk. And if he can't get there, yeah, either slide him down, sit him down two times a week, like, whatever, you got to help him. Cause right now he's not helping himself. He's getting in there and he's struggling, like, help him a little bit. They've been able to do that with Vinny. I don't know why they haven't been able to do it with Salvi, but it's time. It's time for him to have a day off. I don't know that they put their lineup out yet today. It's a day game today. How about we give Salvi the day off today? That would be a place to start. And then maybe just give him a chance to succeed a little bit. Slide him down. What could they call it? Hip? Didn't he hurt his hip? He's on the IL with a little hip fatigue for 10 days. And then you just let him get in the cage and just relax a little bit.
You can definitely tell that he's got kind of the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I get it. He's the captain. He's the captain of the team. He's the veteran. You know, he's got all of these expectations to be the guy who leads the Royals back to the playoffs this year. And unfortunately, it's not working out right now the way that it should. But the good thing about Salvi is that you don't even necessarily need him to be this juggernaut. You don't need him to be an all-star. You don't need him to hit 40 home runs. You don't need him to do all these things. You just need him to not do more harm than good at the plate. And unfortunately, right now, is doing more harm than good.
Yeah. And it's a big enough sample size where it's not just a. Now, to be fair, he did. I mean, this really bad stretch has come in the last 2 weeks. I mean, it has. He was hitting the ball for a while there. And so I don't want to. The other part of it, too, that's probably not fair to him is to discount his role in what the pitching is doing.
Absolutely. 100%.
So I think it's unlikely, unless he really is hurt, that he goes to the aisle. But just move him down in the lineup at minimum, right? Let him struggle down there instead of in the four hole. And let anybody, like, just put Mikel Garcia in the four hole. That dude's hitting everything now. Like, he's at least putting the ball in play. Like, get him wherever you need him.
And remember last year, the whole conversation surrounding Bobby Witt Jr. was the fact that whoever was batting leadoff was never getting on base. And so Bobby wasn't able to drive in runs because there wasn't anybody to set the table for him. It's kind of the same thing for Mikel Garcia a little bit further down the lineup this year. If Salvi's not getting on base and he's batting immediately before Mikel Garcia, then nobody's really setting the table for Garcia to be able to drive in runs either.
God, I've long said there's nothing more frustrating in baseball than a bad bullpen. Watching the Royals every day and being a fan of the Rangers this year, watching offenses not produced to the level they're supposed to for this long is pretty close to bad bullpen play. Like, it is tough, man.
By the way,
like, those are the two teams I'm watching every night, and I'm just like, oh, my God, can somebody hit the ball hard somewhere?
How do you feel, by the way, about Daniel Lynch getting the nod today in the finale?
I'm okay with it. I don't know how long he'll go in the game, but I'm okay with it. I like it. I would imagine it's as a part of a bullpen game, though. If it's not, then we got something to talk about tomorrow. That would be pretty interesting if it's not like a 2-3 inning appearance for Daniel Lynch. But it's an earlier game today, which will be nice, right? Like we won't have to stay up until almost midnight watching the Royals, which would be great. Get a little day baseball, get a chance to win a series, right? You go up against the Giants. I think we can call Webb their ace. You go up against the Giants ace, doesn't seem to matter. Royals are going to score one or two runs, whether it's your ace or your five hole guy. So, you know, what does it matter? But that's what we have today, and we'll see if they can get it done. The Daniel Lynch piece is certainly interesting as we watch Chris Bubich, and maybe that could be Daniel Lynch next year. But I don't know that it would be a good thing if it's this year, because that would mean somebody is more seriously hurt. But we'll watch it today. I think it'll be a bullpen game. We are rocking and rolling into the fun time of year. And we're doing it with a little NBA playoffs here, Tommy. Thunder, they're up 1-0 on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Somewhere, we got to pour one out for a guy, Brandon Zenner, who believes Minnesota's going to win this series. He's a T-Wolves fan. He's a Minnesota sports fan. But not last night. Oklahoma City really flexed on them in the second half. You know, and all the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, he's an old school scorer, right? He does a lot of his work at the line. Some of my favorite players have been that kind of player. Allen Iverson comes to mind. But 14 free throws last night is not unreasonable. 31 points, though, 9 assists. He was fantastic, and he was better than Anthony Edwards, who is the other guy in this series that are the two headline guys. And Oklahoma City gets a 1-0. Lead at home. Minnesota's got nothing to worry about. It's 1-0 at home. Who cares, right? But that was an impressive win.
Well, this team is absolutely elite defensively. And the fact that they can turn defense into offense, that's what propelled them to this victory last night. I think that what we saw in game one last night from the Thunder and what we saw in game seven in the Nuggets series, that's the Thunder team that I expected to see throughout the entire playoffs. And I think that they're rounding into form now. It's the reason why they are the betting favorite, why they've been the betting favorite, and why I think ultimately, regardless who comes out of the East, I think that the Thunder will be the NBA champions because they are stifling defensively. They can shut you down, they can turn you over, and then they can get scoring on the other end of the court from those turnovers. And with that recipe, that's why they've had so much success.
Neither of us pretend to be NBA experts. We don't watch as much of it as we used to. But yes, I think it's pretty clear that Oklahoma City is the favorite for a reason. I don't know that I would consider them like a heavy, heavy favorite, though. Like, I certainly don't even think this series is over.
My point is that if they can continue to execute like they did last night, they will be NBA champions.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that. I do think Minnesota is... If I was power ranking the teams, I would probably put Minnesota 2. I'd probably go Oklahoma City, Minnesota, New York, Indiana. But I am intrigued by the fact that, at least for me, I don't think the series is over by any means, and I don't think the finals is a foregone conclusion. I think when Oklahoma City's right, they're pretty clearly the best team, but they're not always right. You know, and the other teams will have coaching. I remember when I was speaking to Brandon Zinner, I was talking to him before the series, so I like to pick his brain. He watches a ton of NBA. He's like, every one of these games in this series could be totally different by the way the teams like strategically approach it, right? Like they could do different things strategically in every single game. Both teams can, because they're both really, really deep. And so that's going to make it a tough series to take one to the next, like whatever happens in one game to take it to the next. So we'll keep an eye on that. But look, I love it for Thunder fans. I love it for that city. I think it's cool that the NBA has seen small market teams find success. Oklahoma City's one of them. San Antonio is like the smallest market team. Of course, the NFL, it doesn't really matter. But in baseball, it's hard for small market teams. And in basketball, you get it. Whether that's good or bad for the sport, I don't know. But I like that the Thunder have found the top of the mountain again. And I like that Minnesota's back there again. I think people wrote off Minnesota a few years ago as having, and they're right there too. I don't know how this seems so good. I don't know how they were a six seed, but we'll see if they can get it done. I'm with you. I think Oklahoma City is going to win this series. I've thought that from the beginning. I hope that it's competitive. I hope that it's close, as the playoffs have been most of the time this year. But Oklahoma City didn't make it close last night, and especially not in the second half.
Like, yeah.
They dominated that second half.
And when you say that when Oklahoma City is right, they are clearly the favorites. They've been right two games in a row. So we're not talking about kind of a in every other type game and what happens if they fall off a cliff. We've got a little bit of a trend now where two games in a row, game 7 against Denver and then last night game 1 against Minnesota. That defense has been on full display. We talked about it the other day. The way that they defended Nikola Jokic in game 7, I think was incredibly impressive, and they carried that over the way that they defended Anthony Edwards and all of the Timberwolves for that matter. So, being able to convert the turnovers into offense, I read this stat earlier that Oklahoma City, they have, it's something like the best in all time of points off turnovers in the playoffs. Like they have gotten more points off of their defense than any other team in NBA playoff history. And so, again, that sort of thing travels. We've seen it the last two games especially be in full effect. And having that continue on, they're going to be really hard to beat.
I think Oklahoma City, long-term, has a chance to be moderately dynastic. But we've thought that about teams, and it hasn't happened recently in the NBA. But, man, it does feel like their arrow's pointed up still. And they're still ascending. It'll be interesting because they're not going to be able to do it with bringing in big time free agents, right? They'll have to do it internally. They don't get that benefit. Players don't go to Oklahoma City, right? Like they never went to Dallas. So what Dallas always struggled with, the Dallas could never get a free agent to come there. So it'll have to be internal, but it does feel like we're just kind of scratching the surface with them. I agree with that. It's, do they flip that switch right now in the Western Conference Finals? Maybe. I mean, they definitely could. Denver took them to 7 games, though, and I think Minnesota might be better than Denver, so I'm not going to write off Minnesota just yet after one game. I think it's a little bit early for that. You excited for Pacers-Knicks? I don't know about you.
No.
Like, growing up.
Not particularly.
I loved that rivalry. That was one of my favorite rivalries. Those Pacers-Knicks series were so fun. And I don't know if you can stoke any of that in this, but I'm excited. I think Jalen Brunson's an exciting player. That's what I'm excited about. What can he do in this series? And the Pacers, when you come up with those lists of like who are the most not thought of franchises across all of sports, like who are the Pacers?
The Pacers are,
on are
totally
list.
On that list.
So I think it's cool that they're there.
Yeah,
I like that they're there.
Outside of Reggie Miller, I mean, like that's who you think of when you think of the Pacers, right?
You better not slander Rick Smits.
Well,
name.
I mean, yeah, come on. Rick Smits, yeah, I'll take
Duncan
it.
Duncan Dutchman.
Yeah.
You better not.
Look, I think that one of the things that will be key in this series is if you just look at how these two coaches pair up against each other. I mean, Rick Carlisle is one of the more underappreciated coaches in the NBA. He's been around forever, and he's had a tremendous amount of success. I think he's a better coach than Tom Thibodeau. And I know that even though the Knicks have found their way into the semis in the Eastern Conference, just kind of the way that Thibodeau is, I mean, he gets a lot of slander from even like fans of the Knicks, right? Like a lot of fans don't like him. I think his personality is a little grating. It is what it is. But if you're just stacking up the coaches compared to one another, I mean, I think you have to give the nod to the Pacers in that regard. I think Carlisle's a better coach.
I'm not sure I'm taking any coach over Carlisle.
Yeah.
No offense to Tibbs, and I like that he's a hard ass, but like Carlisle, you don't have the success he's had at so many different places. Like that dude is so good at what he does. Big Rick Carlisle fan. I don't know. I can't decide who I'm going for in that series. That's the interesting part for me. Like I want them both to win. I like them both. I think the Knicks fan base, as much as New York fans might, but I think Knicks fans are cool. Like I think they deserve it. I really do. And I think the Pacers are a cool team. Like I love Tyrese Halliburton. Like I think they're a cool team, and I love Rick Carlisle, and I think that organization's cool. So I'll be good. I'll be good just watching. I don't have a rooting interest in that one. I like them both. I really like all four teams. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm going to be happy and satisfied no matter who the NBA champion is. I like all four of these teams, and all four have any of these teams? I mean, I know the Knicks have won a championship, but it's been a long time. I mean, we're getting fresh blood here no matter what. It's been – I don't think the Pacers or obviously the Thunder did not ever get it done. And
well, I'm also trying to think, like, when was the last time that any of these teams were even in the NBA Finals? I mean, I know the Thunder made it at one point in that span that of time, right? That'd be the most recent.
That would be the most recent.
Outside of that, and the Knicks back way Knicks far back, but through? I don't know.
I don't think they did. I don't think they did. And the Pacers, the problem for both of those organizations is their quote unquote glory years most recently were up against the Bulls, which.
So the Knicks, the last time they were actually in the finals was 1999. So it's been a long time. The Pacers made it in 2000. They were in the NBA finals against the Lakers in 2000.
Hated those Lakers teams. I can't believe I don't remember that. I felt like I guess that's true. Yeah. And I kind of do remember that, but
the Timberwolves have never been in the finals.
Did they ever make it before they were the Timberwolves back in, weren't they the Lakers first, right? Minnesota? I don't, whatever. Either way, we're not NBA historians here on Sports Daily, unfortunately for everybody. I'm good with any champion. I'm good with any champion that comes out of the NBA this year. I know that we have more Thunder fans than anywhere, so root for them just fine. Max,
the Lakers, when they were in Minneapolis back in the 50s and 60s or whatever, they won 5 championships in Minneapolis, but we're talking 60, 70 years ago.
And the Lakers stole those 5 championships.
Okay, here we go, Max.
Is Oklahoma hanging a Seattle Supersonic flag? Does Atlanta hang the St. Louis Hawks championship flag? Thank you.
I think the reason why Max is so upset about this is he was actually at those games back in the 50s when the Minneapolis Lakers won the title.
Not that
he
old.
Was there as a college student right, in he was, the 50s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Max is actually 97 years old. I'm not sure if anybody knew that.
That's right. I'm convinced that Max, instead of watching things that are happening now, just watches old games on YouTube.
The NBA is unwatchable. When you get more yards per travel than a running back. No, sorry.
You're not going to get like I enjoy college basketball a lot more now. For sure, I do. There's no question about that. But I still, when you get to this point of the NBA, I'm still a pretty big fan. Not like I used to be. Not like it's been the last decade. And honestly, it's a total professional outcome. I just watch more college basketball now and follow it closer because that's what I do for a living. And I've kind of found myself gravitating to it. But at this point, I think the NBA is great. And I think it's great when you have parity, and they absolutely do have parity right now. Max, Carolina and Florida.
It's over for Carolina.
Really? You're making a call at one game, huh?
They don't have a prayer against Florida.
Okay.
Edmonton will have a prayer against Florida.
speaking of franchises that I contend that the Florida Panthers hockey franchise is the most forgettable professional sports franchise. That'll do it for Sports Daily on a Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday again, everybody. Hope you celebrate all day long. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald in. We will have some fun. We'll have the Royals trying to win a series in San Francisco.
Yeah, the Royals have the chance to salvage the series and take it from San Francisco today and then an off day tomorrow before a big divisional matchup this weekend in Minnesota.
That'll be a fun series. Minnesota is very much back and for real. So we'll have all that for you. Enjoy the day, everybody. We'll be back for Max, for Tommy. I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.